We'll turn in our Bibles to Hebrews 13. Just a couple verses here, and we'll just go right into our lesson. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Amen. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. We'll just quickly go through some of the key statements that we hit at the beginning of this on slide 3, if we could just go right there. Amen. First thing Brother Branham says, as long as that brotherly feeling isn't among us, we're fighting a losing battle. So we want to continue to reiterate that we must keep brotherly love, amen, amongst one another. Next statement, it says, what was that woman doing? She was meeting God. She met a man, but it wasn't a man that she was meeting. It was God in the man. She was meeting God. Let that soak in. And oftentimes people would come in contact with, a prophet didn't realize that God was hiding himself in that prophet. Even today, sometimes when people are meeting you, they don't realize they're meeting a God in you. Amen. God hiding behind skin again today. This next statement that he makes, it says, just think, Brother Branham, the very man that I said was practicing hypnosis has come to save my son from the electric chair. And this is was flowing right along with that scripture. It says, remember them that are in bonds. Just mentioning to you all, there's a lot of criticism going around that Brother Branham was not in Arizona when the seven angels came down. The day that they came down, he was actually in Houston, I believe, helping to get these boys, this one boy, delivered from a death sentence. And, people focus on him not being there when the angels came down, but he made mention that the angels were waiting for him when he got there. And the other thing that I, two things I look at is that here he is saving somebody from the electric chair and nobody's mentioning that. And the second thing is that after this whole experience out there with the angels coming, he was commissioned to come back and preach the seven seals, give us the revelation of seven seals. That's exactly what occurred. And, my focus is more on the work that was revealed through the prophet, not the exact time that he was there or whether he was there when the angels came down. He took his commission from those angels and he came back and he did exactly what they told him to do. So that's what we want to keep our focus on. This next statement, it says, you married men, you live with your wife as a wife. It's the bed is undefiled, but another woman could do the same act and you'll go to hell for doing it. So the scripture says marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled, But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. And the prophet said, you'll go to hell for doing that. So there is no way around that. Amen. I may mention, at the wedding over the weekend, courtship, we have a lot of list of no's. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't touch. You can't kiss. You can't this. You can't that. And I may mention, say, you have all those no's. I say, but when you get married, the no's don't stop. You can't commit adultery. You can't divorce. You can't this. You can't that. So the no's have to be there in order to make sure that we honor God in our relationships. Amen. So here, it's very clear that marriage is honorable. If we're doing things that married people do and we're not married, God will judge you for it. God will judge you. Amen. We want to make sure that's clear. God will judge you for that. Amen. Put it under the blood. Repent. And when you repent, it don't mean you say, God, I'm sorry. Amen. For these next 5 minutes, and then go right back out and do the same thing again. That's not true repentance. True repentance is when you say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. And I'm not going back out to do that again. Amen. All right. Next statement that he says, it says, God don't hold you responsible for your mistakes. He holds you responsible for your willful sin. Willful sin. There's a difference in a mistake and willful sin. And this last statement here, he came to this world as my example. He came as your example to just be content with such as we have. Amen. So we're going to hit that tonight because that's the scripture that we left off. This is verse 5, amen, and verse 5 and 6, and I'm going to slide 8. Verse 5 and 6 in Hebrews, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he have said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And covetousness is you see somebody else got it, and now you desiring it just because they got it. Amen. Not that you need it, right? But because you have seen that they got it, then you desire to do the exact same thing that they did. You don't wait until the Lord, moves on your behalf, but you do it just because they got it. Brother Branham say, you let one neighbor paint their steps red, then the next neighbor start doing the exact same thing. We don't want to covet anything. We want to rejoice when somebody else gets a blessing. Amen. But if you have a need, God has promised to supply your need. Amen. But sometimes it's not needs. It's what we call wants. Amen. And oftentimes when we're following our wants, we get into a lot of trouble with debt. So be careful in that. Learn to be content in whatever state you're in. So the scripture said, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Go to slide 8 for me, please. This statement here the prophet makes says, but we find here that God, in spite of all the failure that Moses had done, he still had his hand on him. I like that statement. In spite of all the failure that Moses had done, he still had his hand on him. That God has no respect to persons. We can put ourselves in that same quote there. In spite of all the failures Jack had done, he still had his hand on him. Praise the Lord. And he called him to go do his service, calling him to his commission. And what a consolation that must have been to Joshua when he heard God say, as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Amen. I want to just, before we go into that, I want to just look at a couple scriptures on being content. Let's turn to Luke chapter 3. Man, Luke chapter 3, and let's start at verse 10. Amen. Luke chapter 3, verse 10. These are people coming to John the Baptist. They were being baptized, and he had different ones was asking for counsel, amen, from John the Baptist. And here in verse 10 it says, and the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answereth and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. So here John is giving them advice. Now, notice these people are actually coming for even natural advice to the prophet John the Baptist, and he's giving them natural advice. This is the publicans. This is something to do with their work. Right, so he's giving them natural advice. This is important. Amen. You can come to church and get natural advice. Praise the Lord. It don't have to always be spiritual, but sometimes there's things that you go through naturally, and God has put people in your path that could actually help you make good decisions. Praise the Lord. Amen. Folk that have already gone down that road before. Amen. Trust me, a person that's 50, 60, 70 years has had a lot more experience than a person that's 20 or 30. Amen. And you can get advice from those people. These people are coming to John asking for natural advice, and he's giving it to them. Amen. Sometimes you can be helped with advice on how to handle things on your job. Glory to God. It's the truth. Amen. Before you quit... Seek some advice. I did it one time. I was so upset about something that happened on the job, and I was ready to quit. I said, they promised me this, and they promised me that, and now they went back on their promise. This ain't right. So I went to a friend of mine, and I went, and I knew he was a Christian and everything, and I just laid it all out to him. And when after he sat there and he listened to me, said, he heard me all the way through. And when I got to the end, he said, okay, Jack, the first thing you need to do is swallow your pride. I said, with everything that I just said, that's all you heard is my pride? And he told me, you need to just swallow your pride. He was right. I need to swallow my pride and take care of some things. And I did exactly what he told me to do. Then the Lord blessed me. Amen. But you can get natural advice from people. Praise the Lord. All right. God has put people in your path so that they can help you, so that you don't make similar mistakes. Here the scripture says, amen, verse 13 again, and it said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? So these soldiers want to know what to do. Roman soldiers, right? Talking to the prophet. What shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Now, if some of us would follow that advice, we'd stay on the job. You agreed for that amount. And you praise God for the amount that they gave you. And then, it just take about 3 months and you ain't satisfied with it no more. No. Be content with your wages. Amen. Don't talk about quitting already. You just got there. Praise the Lord. Be content with your wages. I love the way John puts that. Amen. Let's go on. And he goes on to say this. And as the people were in expectation and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. When we're not content, the devil just have us chasing a lot of stuff. And what we have to learn how to be is content. And please don't tell God, I'll be content when I make $1 million. No, you don't really need $1 million to live. You don't need $1 million to live. Amen. You just need God to meet your needs. Praise the Lord. And learn how to be content with whatever that is that God needs to meet in your life. Learn how to be content. Don't get jealous of the next person because, well, they got this thing. No, no, no. Don't be running after things like that. Like, I believe it's the raccoon that chased shiny things. Don't chase it, right? You'll find yourself trapped somewhere. So just learn how to be content. And here John tells him, just be content with your wages. Be content. Praise the Lord. All right. Another scripture here is Philippians 4. Praise the Lord. Philippians 4. And I'm looking at verse 11 and 12. Amen. It says this, not that I speak in respect of want. If I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then verse 13, which is one of our favorite. I can. You say you can't take it no more. You just can't handle it no more. You're not reading this verse. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen. You can do it. Just commit it to the Lord. Learn to be content in whatever state you find yourself in. Be content. Praise the Lord. All right, let's look at a couple quotes here. This is from the message, Believest Thou This? The prophet says, when he called his disciples, he never went and got the educated priests out of the seminaries. He went down on the river and got fishermen, peasants, poor people, that they would have nothing. That the world could say, why, yes, they become great men because they had a great background. They had this. They had no backgrounds at all, and he just picked them up like jewels out of the dirt and made their names immortal among men today. Peter, James, John, and so forth, fishermen of lowly peasant-type people. And I'm so glad that God still deals with poor people and common people. For we don't have much of this world's goods. We don't desire this world's goods. If there's anything that we got, if there's anything that we ought to, not to desire too much of these things, just enough to live by, that's all. Brother sent me a quote today, and you know, he said, Brother Branham say, don't get caught with a lot of money in your pocket. He's saying, try to invest your money. Put it to good use somewhere. Put it in the kingdom of God, but just don't get caught. And we want so much of the world's goods, so much of the world's goods. We just need enough to live by. Amen, church. Amen. 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 Why do you need a Bentley? Why Bentley? Praise the Lord. You don't need that. Amen. See, and you know, we get these pictures of success, and then we look at things like that and like, no, that's just, don't be chasing things like that. Amen. Learn to be content. Can y'all see Jesus in a Bentley? Amen. Just think about it. All right. It says, if I'd probably taken the money that had been offered me, I'd be an independent rich man. But today, as far as I know, I own this old backslidden Chevrolet truck. Out here about 6 years old and a Pontiac about 3 years old that I take my wife along in when I take her. And the clothes that we have on and what we have at home, that's all we own. That's right. Everything that we have. But I'd rather live like that and have favor with God than have the best movie star home there is setting on Hollywood Hill over here. That's right. I'd rather feel in my heart the presence of Christ that I feel now than to have the riches of this world. That's right. I love him and he's wonderful. Praise the Lord. It goes on, it says, and he came to this world as my example. And he came as your example to just to be content with such as you have. And when he was born in the world, he had a hard start. When he was born in a manger, in a barn. Could you imagine a birth of that type? No lower birth could be. I don't expect them to be born in a manger. And before he ever got here, it was tacked onto him being an illegitimate child, that he was absolutely an illegitimate child, that Joseph was his father and he was going to be born out of holy wedlock. And that was nothing but just Joseph's boy. Now, and you know, that old curse hasn't left today. Many people actually believe that. So when we look at how our Lord and Savior came, born in a manger in a barn, when he left, he had to actually borrow a tomb. And this was a God that created the entire world. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and the world and they that dwell therein. When we think about how our Lord and Savior came and he left, we ought to learn an example of how to be content. How to be content. Now, like Brother Branham said, he's not expecting us to be born in barns, you know, and things like that. But just, you know, be content. Be content. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. We got to learn this, how to be content with what God gives us. Amen. Glory to God. All right. I want to hit just this other side of this scripture. It said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Let's look at Deuteronomy 31, verse 6 through 8. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. No matter what we're going through, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Deuteronomy 31. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. The Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Don't get discouraged, as he promised never to leave you nor forsake you. No matter what you're facing, he promised he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Also over here in Joshua 1:5, so God gave Joshua that commission through Moses, amen, in front of the people. And then here in Joshua 1:5, after Moses is taken off the scene, God gives the exact same commission. He repeats these words to Joshua. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sometimes we need to have the word repeated to us as well. Let's just start at verse 2. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give thee, give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And we came into this year on this scripture. Brother Smiley brought this to us, making footprints. Amen. We're standing on this. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. God reiterating the promise that he gave Joshua through Moses. Now God himself, after Moses is taken up to sin, God himself comes and reiterates that promise to Joshua. Let's look at something here. Brother Branham, this scripture was something that meant much to the prophet. And I want to read from the message, Early Spiritual Experiences. I'll also have to say that this scripture meant a lot to me. Before I started Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, before the Lord just, you know, the Lord had kind of given me that name and I hadn't done anything with it, held on to it for a couple of years, didn't say anything to anybody. And I remember going to my cousin's house to fix his computer one night, and he was asking me all kind of questions about, you know, how was church today? And I didn't go to church that day. And I had to tell him, say, I didn't go to church. It was like, oh, okay. Just kind of kept going and asked me some more questions. And here I am not going to church. And what he picks up on our whole conversation, what he picks up in it, he say, the Lord is calling you. I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't go to church. You should be rebuking me for not going to church. I need to get to church somewhere, right? Because that's what everybody else was doing. They rebuked me for not going to church. But he said, no, the Lord is calling you. And he took me and sat me down in his living room. He just began to read Joshua 1 all to me. And I said, Lord, I know that this is the voice of God speaking to me through Joshua 1. And sometimes God has a way of just kind of taking you back down that particular chapter, and you look at where Joshua was in his life, and you'll go through different times where, you know what, it's time for you to get up from where you are and start moving on. And you need to know that God's going to be with you as you begin to take steps of faith. Amen. I will not fail you. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I'm going to be right there. Get up and start moving. There comes a season where you can kind of sit there and just kind of wait, but then there comes a season where you got to get in action. Praise the Lord, somebody. Amen. You got to be able to hear the voice of God and get up and begin to move, do something, walk out by faith. Amen. Amen. I'm coming by faith and not by sight. Praise God. But this scripture means much. Amen. Here in Early Spiritual Experiences, the prophet makes, he says this is a dysentery, couldn't hardly stand up, so sick. I pray. I walk the floor and cry. I pray. I walk the floor and I cry. People would come, and there come Hyman Appleman, friends, and all of them. They leaned across the table and said, Brother Branham, this ministry said we've been to schools, but we believe the teachers are wrong. Said we want to know the supernatural. And here I was, so sick and trembling myself, I couldn't hardly move. I went down to see Brother Bosworth. We knelt and had prayer and so forth. Nothing looked like God had shut the heavens up. I went. I walked back and forth across the floor and seemed like he said, now the next time you'll listen. Amen. Sometimes it seems like God shuts the heavens. And when that happens, sometimes it's good to go back, backtrack on some things. And Brother Branham's situation here, it was a time where he wasn't supposed to go to a specific place. God had told him exactly what to do, but he got tripped up in a group of ministers. Amen. Now, all these ministers was giving him different advice and pretty much telling him he's not the only one to hear the voice of God. They also hear the voice of God, and he had to draw a line in the sand. And it says, brothers, when we step across this line, we're stepping out of the will of God. And he said, I'm going to go with you, but I want to let you know when we step out of the will of God, this ain't going to work and that ain't going to work and this ain't going to work. Everything going to fall apart. And everything he said happened. The meetings was canceled and all of them end up getting sick on this trip. All of them end up getting sick. Things happen when we go outside of the will of God. Praise the Lord, church. Amen. The quickest thing you do is backtrack, repent, and then move forward. All right. Look at this. It says, nothing like God had shut the heavens up. I walked back and forth across the floor and seemed like he said, now the next time you'll listen. For months after months, and finally, Dr. Sam come over to where I was one night, was sitting here talking. He said, I want you to pray for a certain fellow down here, Billy. He's a neurotic. He sat in my office, started talking. He said, what about the amoeba? How's things getting along? And ain't that something here you're going through and still people asking you for stuff? Ain't that something? Says, I said, oh, it told him the symptoms of it. He said, oh, Billy, my boy said, there's nothing can touch it now. It's gone. Says, I said, oh, my. I said, God, have mercy, have mercy. I walked the floor. It says, in one night, when coming back across the seas, I said to Brother Bosworth, I said, he said, oh, Brother Branham, he put his arms around me. He said, I'm so proud of you, my boy, Brother Bosworth. I said, I fought a good fight, Brother Bosworth. I'm 40 years old. I said, I guess she's all over now. Said, 40 years old? Said, I was your age before I got converted. Boy, you just starting like that. And I just began to think like that, you know, and then that night I was laying there on the bed and I said, I sit in a room to myself and I just began to think like that, you know, I'm sitting in a room to myself. My little girl, my little 5-year-old girl, my wife was in the next room. There had been people there all day. Now, as I close, here's what's taking place. Write this down. Remember this. Keep it in your mind. As it was prophesied, Brother Upshaw and you all over in Finland, when you've seen the resurrection of the little boy and so forth, note about that when you was told, I want you to put this down also. Amen. Says, I was laying there one morning about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was thinking, oh, what will be my future? What will be the outcome? And while I was laying there, I fell into a trance, and here come one walking to me, and oh my, I looked at him. He walked straight to me, stern, as thou was thinking of what would be your future. I said, yes. He grabbed up a piece of paper. It was like and folded them like typewriter paper like that, held it out like this, and he stood beside me like that, and he swirled them like that. They went plumb up into the heavens. He said, your future is clear. Now, I know this was the angel Lord speaking to the prophet, but if you've been wondering about your future, I would take that for myself. Your future is clear. Amen. It says, when I come out of it, oh God, I wanted to talk. I wanted to talk you so much. He never come but one time, one at a time. I said, Lord, I was wanting to talk to you so much. If thy servant has found favor in your sight, will you return again, great Holy Spirit, to me again? And then I felt it coming. Woo! And as I went that time, I seen him walk to me, said, you've been fearing about that amoeba condition. Now, he picking up the thoughts of the prophet. Who you think it was picking up the thoughts of the people? It's the same angel that was with the prophet. Oh, my. Listen, he said, never no more that settled it. Then he come again. He said, you've been thinking on these things about how you should conduct your meeting and them telling you about other man who conducts their meeting said, you do just as I lead you to do. Whatever meeting, let it provide for itself. Then just then he taking me out in the spirit. Listen, Brother Jackson, you never heard this. None of the rest have, and he set me down at Durban, South Africa, in that same booth, standing there before those tens of thousands and thousands of people there, and I looked and I seen all the meeting gather together and fade off to my right. Geographically, I was standing this way, and it faded to the left, going this way, turning blue, and then right before me stood a blocked off streets like that with people standing there and their hands up praising God. Then he turned me to the east, and looked that way, and I seen people standing there with clouts like the Indians wear, and there were thousands of them, and they had their hands up in the air just to praising God and screaming and praising God, and I couldn't even see the end of them. And just about that time, come a great angel from heaven and stood over the top of me with a big light, and that light on the end of one of those here operating lights on the front of a big locomotive. and began to throw, and the hillsides were sitting black and standing with people for a mile away nearly. And I said, oh, are they all black people? Then he turned my face here in front of me to Durban again, and there was beautiful white men and women standing with their hands up in the air praising God. Then he turned me back again, and the great light started going way back over the hill and showing. Then the angel drew near, and I heard him scream with a voice that shook me from the vision. It said, there'll be 300,000 of them in that meeting. Thus saith the Lord, mark it in your book. I'll come out of it. Now, if I'm not mistaken, this particular vision that I'm giving you, some have come against it and said this was never fulfilled. And Brother Branham did actually go to Africa, but what happened is that through politics of the preachers, he got blocked from actually being able to do this. He got blocked, but he was there. Amen. Somebody just told me another, something I just heard recently. I don't know where it was, but Brother Branham went to a meeting, and when he got there, the people really was using his name just to get an offering. And so when he got there, that they, these people had gone out and taken an offering from the people. And when Brother Branham got there, they blocked him from going to the going out to the platform. Different brothers blocked him because they didn't want the people to know that he was there. They were just trying to get money. Well, when they blocked him, Brother Branham, his hat fell off his head, and he told Billy, take my hat and run to the platform and just wave my hat before the people to let the people know that I was here. But I got blocked by these preachers. Now, God didn't show him all these things, right? He just does what he's supposed to do. But you know, it's a battle for a prophet, just like it's a battle for the rest of us. Amen, right? But you know, these things, he was there. He was there. This vision would have been fulfilled, but there were preachers that got in the way of this. And what people would say is that he was a false prophet because it wasn't fulfilled. You know, actually, it's going to take a lot more than that to convince me, but I can tell you this much. There's a lot of folk in Africa that's standing with this word, and it's still flowing in Africa. They're not having as many problems as we have in here in the U.S. Amen. There's still people being called to this message in Africa. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. So he goes on. He says, thus saith the Lord, mark it in your book. I come out of it. I said, my Lord and my God, thanks be to you. I appreciate the stripes and the whipping that you give me for disobeying you. Can we say the same thing? Lord, I appreciate the stripes and the whipping that you give me for disobeying you. My. But from this on, Lord, knowingly, if I ever know again, I will never tie myself up with a bunch of nobody else preachers, managers, or no one else. But what I will be free to do what you say do, and I will go just where you say go and do just what you say do for the rest of my life. And I will always try to do just as you say do. And about that time, here he come again, and I see my Bible rise off the table and come over to me like this. Are y'all getting this? The Bible lifts up and comes to the prophet. It says, and I see my Bible rise off the table and come over to me like this. It was turned over to the place where Paul in the storm said, you should have listened to me and not have loosed from Crete. But nevertheless, the angel of the Lord who stood by me and so forth. Look at this. Then he turned right back to Joshua, the first chapter, and a finger placed on there said, no man shall stand before you all the days of your life. Now, after Brother Branham experienced something like this, you can imagine that scripture must have meant a lot to him every time he read it. No man shall stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. And reading it right on down through the lines there, come back, it said, only be strong and very courageous. I come to myself and I said, my God, my body was weak. I've been under it for about 3 hours. Just then, a little wee knock come at the door. It was my beloved wife coming with a baby on her arm. She said, Bill, something has happened. I said, what's the matter? She said, at 3 o'clock this morning, the baby woke up and I started to come in. Never before in our life, she said, and something stopped me there at the door before I come through the hall and said, don't go in there. A vision's going on that cannot be interrupted. Oh, amazing grace. Ain't it so good that his wife was sensitive to the Spirit of God? Don't go in there. A vision's going on. It can't be interrupted. What is that? Don't take the baby in there. You don't go in there. Don't take the baby in there. You handle the baby now. Something, oh my, a vision will be interrupted. The work of the Lord will be interrupted. Oh, Jesus. I said, yes, honey. And I told her, and I grabbed my Bible and wrote it all out on the fly leaf. And so I'd be sure to know it like that and got it out like that. We went on out to breakfast. And here come my mother-in-law, very staunch Christian. What's happened up here this morning? Said, I got up and started to wash the dishes and said, a voice spoke to me and said, go up to Billy's right away. And I said, Sister Broy, the angel Lord has appeared to me and told me, forget about the amoeba. It's going to be all right. And I'm going to have a meeting that's going to consist of 300,000 people. And God, I said, my ministry is just now beginning. I said, I want to base it. I want to tear that thing out from where it was and get rid of all these leeches and things hanging on so I can get to the people and tell them what's the truth. And that's right. And I'm tired of this, the man-made stuff anyhow. And I'm gonna be where God can use me. I'm going to live right in that channel as long as I live. So as I went down there and they called me up, the man said, you better come on down and pick up these canceled checks on account of the income. Said, you got to make out a return, which I don't have very much to pay, $7.50, but I had to go down and pick up the canceled checks. As I started back through the bank, I saw them fellows was hollering, hello, Brother Branham, the tellers. And as I started back through, something said to me, stop. I felt something lay on my shoulder, and I thought, oh, I just imagined that. You know, started on, I thought, no, there's something wrong. Who is looking at me? So as I looked around, I couldn't see anybody. I thought, Lord, you're near. What's happened? And I seen little Bobby over there looking down like that. And something said, go over and talk to him. I said, how are you, Bobby? He said, just fine, Brother Branham, I guess. I said, look like you're sad this morning. He said, Brother Branham, look. Said, all my people nearly has died with cancer. He said, just as sure as the world, I got it. He said, I'm bleeding through the bowels and everything. So, you know, the funniest thing happened, Brother Branham, being that you're standing here, he said, this morning at 3 o'clock. So this is another person. His wife got stopped at 3 o'clock. Now this man, Bobby, see the angel Lord, just all over. Amen. This morning at 3 o'clock, I woke up in the room and said, there was a voice said to me, see Billy Branham today. I had a hold of his hands. I said, Bobby, everything has been going like that this morning. I told him about it. That's been about 2 or 3 months ago. I met him again the other day, said, Brother Branham, I haven't had a bleeding from that day since. He said, I've been healed since that day. A teller in the bank. 3 confirmations, it shall come to pass. Remember that. Let me go on to this other sermon here. As I was with Moses. It says, but we find here that God, in spite of all the failure that Moses had done, he still had his hand on him. And he called him to go do his service, calling him to his commission. And what a consolation that must have been to Joshua. When he heard God say, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Although if I'm trying and fail, God won't leave me. I don't have much confidence in anybody that's too afraid to do anything. I'd rather be found a failure than too lazy to try. I want to say that again. I'd rather be found a failure than too lazy to try. One time, it was said that the ballot and ballot floor company hired a man and he was going to sign his name, and that man had no eraser on the end of his pencil. And Mr. Ballot said to him, "Why haven't you got an eraser?" He said, "I don't make mistakes." He said, "Then I can't use you. Because if you don't make mistakes, you won't do nothing." That's true. God don't hold you responsible for your mistakes. He holds you responsible for your willful sin. He that sins willfully after he's received the knowledge of the truth, but a man that's going to do something is going to blunder. He's going to fall. He's going to make mistakes. But if he's really divinely called and God is in his heart, he'll rise again. Thank God for that. It says, now, last night preaching, going up to Jordan. Now, we get to that river. It divides us. It separates us. Once on the other side, something happened to you. Now, Joshua, and all his knowing that the command was great, but having the assurance he could be fearless, he could be, and we call it reckless, as long as he was pointed the right way. He might break up against a heel that would knock him backwards, but he was headed the right way. So can the Church of the Living God be reckless and fearless and faith were pointed the right way. For he said, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I'll not fail you nor forsake you. He never forsaken Moses. He never failed Moses. He will not fail Joshua. He will not fail us. He'll be with us. I say amen. I say amen. He's going to be with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Brother Branham having that experience of the angel Lord coming and just opening the Bible, taking him right to Joshua chapter 1 and just pretty much reading the scripture right out to him and let him know that his future was clear, that no man would be able to stand before him all the days of his life. And like I said, what consolation the prophet must have had every time he read that scripture, he could go back to that experience of what God did. And I know for me, I mean, I didn't have the angel come and open up the Bible and do things like that. But, you know, like I was saying earlier, and even in the scripture, you know, you don't know who God will use to speak to you, right? You be careful. You might be entertaining angels unaware, right? Be careful. So sometimes God will use the most unlikely source to say a word to you. And when I showed up that night at my cousin's house, I went to fix a computer. I was not there for a commission. I was there to fix a computer. And I remember him telling me, he said, God calling you, God calling you. I know God's calling you. And he took me back to Joshua chapter 1. And he just began to read that over me. I said, Lord, I know this ain't nothing but the voice of God speaking to me through this man. I knew it was God. And he told me at that time, he said, you know, you fix computers for a living to take care of your family. He said, but God got so much more for you than fixing computers. And I heard him say that. I say, I can't see that right now. I went to school, got my degree. Computers is what I'm going to do. But lo and behold, years later, I ain't got no computer job no more. Amen. But God has not left me. He's been with me through thick and thin. And that man that night, a Methodist preacher, he told me, he says, I know God's calling you. He said, now when you gonna come preach for me? I said, preach? I ain't been to church in weeks. And you want me to come preach? He said, I want to know when you're gonna. So I gave him the Christian no. That's the Christian no. I'll pray about it. And he said, okay, you can pray about it. He called me up a few weeks later, said, now, I asked you when you're going to come preach for me. I got my calendar out. Let me know when you're going to come preach for me. And I couldn't get out of it. So I said, I picked a date, didn't know what I was doing. I just picked a date and went and preached. And I remember preaching the sermon, "Ye Must Be Born Again." Went there to a Methodist church and preached, "You Must Be Born Again." And when I got there to the church, he did something to me that now I do to others. He walked up to me, and I done prepared my sermon. And when I got there, he said, "Now, I know you got your sermon prepared." He says, "But you only have 30 minutes to deliver your sermon." And I say, he said, "Yeah, if you can't say it in 30 minutes, you ain't saying nothing." So right before I went to the pulpit, I had to adjust myself and get that message out in 30 minutes. So I learned that. Amen. Sometimes you go places, and not that I'm going to use that here. Praise the Lord. Amen. But that was my training. You understand? So there are certain places I go. Like if I go to a denominational church and preach, and if I get invited, I will go. Let me say that again. If I get invited to a denominational church to preach, I will go if the Lord leads. If the Lord leads, I don't have a problem going in to preach for them. Have no problem. Some folk just don't forget. Some folk don't forget where they came from. Amen. And also remember, the mother eagle did go looking for the chicken. Where? In the chicken yard. The mother eagle screamed in the chicken yard. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we carrying this word. We got to go sometimes to the chickens and scream. Maybe somebody come out of there. Amen. You just plant the seed. So, you know, I went and after I thought it was all said and done, after I preached, he called me up a few months later. He said, "Jack, my church wants you to come back." I said, "Your church after you must be born again?" I'm telling these people they ain't even saved. You got to be born again. And my church wants you to come back, and they want you to come on Mother's Day. I said, "Okay. All right. I'll be there." And I remember it I still remember it to this day. I went, and I remember many of my family members went with me on that day, and I preached a sermon, "Give it, keep it. Keep it, lose it." Thank God for those experiences. But that was all birth out of Joshua chapter 1. And God has a way of taking that. And even after tonight, if you would just go back and just read over that, I know God will speak to you in Joshua chapter 1. Be strong. Be courageous. Be fearless. Be reckless. If God's calling you to do something, step out there and do it by faith. Amen. As long as it's in the will of God and it's in the word of God, step out by faith. And watch what God do. Now, when you step out, even when I stepped out to do ministry, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. And even to this day, it's still not easy. But I'm just going on my own personal revelation of what God did for me. And I learned a long time ago, sometimes it's good to give your testimony because other people will give you a testimony if you don't give your own. I'm going to say that again. It's sometimes good to give your own testimony. Because other folk will give you a testimony when you don't give your own. Most people don't even know that about me. Most people don't even know that before I even started ministry, I had about 8 different people at 8 different times approach me and ask me, "Was I a minister?" People that I didn't know. I remember just living in a townhome, and older lady, I don't know her name. To this day, I don't know the lady's name. I came home from work early that day, and as I'm getting out of my car, and she used to see me get out of the car, and I would see her get out of the car. We lived at opposite ends of this townhome in this little cul-de-sac area, and I would go and I'd wave at her, you know, and this one day she stopped, and I happened to be getting home. I don't know why I got off early that day, but I happened to get home, and she was getting out of the car at the same time I was getting out of the car, and she yelled out, "Young man!" "Yes, ma'am." I went running across the parking lot. "Young man." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "No, ma'am." She said, and just shook her head and walked in the house. Left me standing there. I said, "What am I supposed to do with that?" But God would do that multiple times with different people in my life. I want to say at least eight different times, seven or eight different times where it happened. And I had to go through all of that wrestle with my own self before I yielded to a call from the Lord. I thank God that 17 years later, I can say he never left us nor forsook us. He's been there through the whole journey. And if he's been there before, he's going to continue to be there. So we're going to be reckless. We're going to be fearless. We're going to keep walking by faith, not by sight. Amen. And we're going to be content with what we got till God give us more. Praise the Lord. I'm learning that too. I'm learning not to be so to complain about where we worship. I brought somebody here to the church the other day and just let them see where we worship. It's like, man, this big. You can have weddings in here. I'm like, see, sometimes we don't realize what we got. We have to maybe let other folk and say, oh, Lord, so much can be said. After going to Haiti, I can appreciate what God has blessed us with. I can appreciate it. I'm learning to be content in whatever state I'm in. Now, I don't mean that we don't want a new church because we pay a lot in rent. But we're just going to wait on the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the experiences that your prophet had, that he shared with us. See, there's nothing but Almighty God dealing with this man. It's Almighty God that sent him to us. Lord, so many have tried to find so many failures. This didn't happen. He prophesied this and that didn't happen. That didn't happen. Lord, but they're missing it. They're missing little things. We thank you for the word that he brought us. And God, we wouldn't be able to fellowship around this had he not been obedient to you. He stopped listening to the voice of man. He listened to you, God. You told him his future was clear. God, I believe, amen, that somebody tonight might be going through something where they're trying to figure out what their future is. May they take that by faith and apply it to their own situation. My future is clear. Lord, I thank you for every trial. I thank you that even when we find ourselves in where we've disobeyed your word and we come short, we fail. God, we thank you that you can correct us, that you can speak to us, that you can, Lord, just show us which way we should go. God, we learn from these mistakes. Just as we can look at Moses and see that in his failures, you never left him. Joshua was encouraged by that. God, we're also encouraged by it. So help us, Lord, to keep walking by faith and not by sight. It's in Jesus' name. We pray.